You would. We're going to look at two scriptures this morning. I know this is not homiletically correct, amen, but God steps outside of what y'all call correctness, amen. You would look with your Bibles to the book of Galatians chapter 3. And we want to look at verse 13. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. When you found it, please say amen. Amen. And that verse reads on this order: Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Then turn to me with Romans chapter 5. And this will be our main textual chapter, but we want to look at Romans chapter 5, and we just want to read verse 8. And Romans 5 and 8 reads on this order: But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I know somebody probably saying, that sounds like a Easter. But let me tell you something. I want to speak this morning from the subject, God's Christmas tree. God's Christmas tree. During this time of the year, all across the country, we find Christmas trees that usually will have presents underneath. And the Christmas tree is one of the symbols that are really used a lot at Christmas. And simply stated, the truth of Christ's birth or the Christmas season is the fact that God the Son, who's the second person of the Trinity, became the baby in the cradle that he might become the man on the cross, that he might die as our sinless substitute to release us from the penalty of this thing we call sin. And by him going to the cross, what it will do is it will reconcile, or it will set straight us with God, that one day we might receive eternal life. Now, God's word actually refers to both Christ Jesus, his person, and his death on the cross. And the cross, in other words, is another word for the word tree. Now, when we look in Acts chapter 5, verse 30, the Bible says that the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye murdered by hanging on a tree. Then when I look at Acts chapter 13, verse 29, it says, Now when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. Then I can't stay there, because 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, And he who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, and by whose stripes we are healed. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you is that there's some significance in the tree. See, in the Old Testament, the Messiah is viewed prophetically in terms that relate to a tree. Somebody said, what are you talking about, Pastor? When I look at Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, see, he's portrayed as a shoot or a branch that would grow out of the cut down stump out of the house of David. And Isaiah 11, 1 simply says, And there shall come forth a rod or a shoot from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. I'm just talking about a tree. He's also seen as the branch of the Lord, for as the righteous branch, as God's servant, God would raise him up to give righteousness and life to a world that was lost in sin. And when we see these few passages of Scripture, we see that God had his own Christmas tree in the person of his son Jesus, whose work and death on a tree, watch this, would set all the captives free. Now, note this, when God's tree got here, it was not decorated with lights, nor was it surrounded underneath by gifts, but rather up under God's tree. I can see now some gifts that are imperishable, some gifts that will not die. Somebody said he's a gift that keeps on giving. And how did we buy these gifts? They were purchased by the death of his son on the cross. Now, how do I acquire this Christmas tree? How do I acquire the gifts? First of all, when we look at God's Christmas tree, we think about what can it provide for me. And Isaiah 55:1 basically said this: if you're ready to celebrate Christmas, even if you don't have a penny, come on. I'm going to say, read it to me, Pastor. Isaiah 55:1 says this: ho, in other words, time out. Listen up, everybody that's thirsty, come to the waters. If you have no money, he says, come buy. Eat, yes, come and buy wine and milk without money or without a price. Somebody said, what are you talking about, Pastor? Who wants some water for Christmas? Then I can hear John 4:10, where Jesus answered a woman and said, if you knew the gift of God, you would know who it was that was talking to you that said, give me a drink, and he would have told you, I will give you some living water. See, somebody right now is looking for a diamond, or somebody right now is looking for a mink, but right now somebody, just the only thing you need for Christmas is some water. I'm going to get there in a minute. Talk about God's Christmas tree. Then when I look in Revelation 21:6, the words he says, now I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give the fountain of water freely. I know some of you broke. But here's a gift from a tree that says, I'll give it to you freely if you're thirsty for it. And our scripture basically states that salvation is by grace through faith alone. And in the work of God, alone means not by religious or moral works that you can perform. In other words, what he's saying is this: we're only here. Ephesians 2:8 puts it like this. Says, by grace are you saved through faith. And it's not of yourself. I don't care how good you think you are. But it's a gift. Here's one of these gifts up under this Christmas tree now. And see, one gift up under this tree is called grace. Somebody here ought to be thanking God for his grace and his mercy. And right now, somebody ought to be saying, all I want for Christmas is I need a little bit of grace. I'm going to preach if y'all help me. See, grace, let me tell you about grace. Grace is free to you, but it caused Christ, the death on the cross, But grace is not grace, and free is not free if I've got to pay some price. But let me tell you something. Free suggests something which we don't and can't purchase. It's something that we get as a gift. But let me tell you something. Just call this free, it ain't cheap. See, some of you think you got to pay a whole lot of money for a gift in order for it to be significant. Grace is free, but I tell you, it's not cheap. Then this gift can be acquired. How do I get the gift? It's acquired through faith. See, if you're a child of the King, you're entitled to the gifts from the tree. John 1 and 12 said, but as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the children of God, and to those that believe in his name. Now, when I look at this, the means for getting God's tree, these imperishable gifts, I got to start to look under the tree. No doubt we've sat at the house and we've sat around the tree at your home and you open some gifts sometimes. And often we have great anticipation in the joy of giving and receiving something. Amen. But now, sometimes the gifts that we get require that you read the instructions, and it takes time to learn how to operate some of your gifts. Now, God's gifts fall in the same category. How many of you in here have ever received a gift that you didn't like? No, don't lie to yourself. Come on now. How many have received a gift that you really just didn't like? And what did you do? You smiled and you thanked the person that gave it. And then when you got home, amen, you put it up on a shelf somewhere to never hope to pick it up again. Amen. You didn't want to really throw it away. Y'all be for real with me now. You really didn't want to throw it away. But I'm going to put it somewhere where maybe it won't come up no time soon. But the gift that God's given, you don't need to put it on a shelf. See, if you saved this morning, you need to be reminded of the gifts, and you need to start rejoicing every time you come across these gifts. Then you need to use these gifts, amen. And right now, if you're not a Christian, I hope I make you jealous this morning and make you want to accept some of the gifts that's under this tree. Then open the gifts. Now, if you have to receive the tree, watch this. You got to receive the tree in order to get the gifts. And the best thing to do is, y'all, we talking about we want a blessing, don't you? Well, if you want a blessing, you got to accept the tree. All right. Talking about God's Christmas tree. Amen. Then there's some gifts under this tree. I'm going to speed this thing up. There's some gifts up under this tree. And you can stick with me and my text from Romans chapter 5. And in Romans chapter 5 in verse 1, you'll find that the very first gift that we can find up under this tree is what we call justification. In Romans 5, 1, it's a legal term which pictures and shows the sinner before the judgment bar of God. And we're ready and set to receive condemnation for the sin that we've committed. But instead of being condemned, watch this. I come and I can hear God saying, he justifies me. So instead of being condemned, he pronounces me not guilty. Anybody here need a not guilty sentence this morning? See, God pronounces me not guilty. That's one gift up under the tree. Romans 5 and 1. See, justification is the divine pronouncement of God that says we are acquitted. Tell somebody, I'm acquitted from the penalty of sin. And God's judgment for sin is supposed to be death. But I thank God that he's allowed me to walk in the newness of life because I'm justified before the Father. See, it's the pardon of God declaring us righteous when, We believe in him by faith. And if you hear this morning, the devil is trying to keep you behind the bars of condemnation. He wants to keep you locked up and tell you that there's no hope, that there's no gift. But I come to tell you there's a gift under the tree this morning. And I thank God for justification. Think about this. We ought to be rejoicing, even in the midst of our suffering, because through faith we know that God's promises will come through. See, right now we got a problem. Us believers got a problem in here, amen. See, we have a problem of joining the word affliction and joy together. Why? Well, because we don't have any hope in the glory of God. In other words, what happens is we begin to fall in the rut of being able to be happy when things are going well, and we have pity party when things are going bad. But I come to tell you today that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we all should rejoice and be glad in it, because, see, God don't have bad days. And see, right now, I know it seems like you're going through right now, but see, you haven't finished opening your gifts yet that's under this tree, because the Bible says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has got in store for me. You can't limit my Christmas. I got an all-giving Christmas tree. Woo! I'm finna go somewhere now. That's another gift that God gives us. In Romans chapter 5, verse 5, it's a gift that's called the love of God and the Holy Spirit. See, verse 5 says, and in hope maketh me not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Somebody ought to thank God for the Holy Ghost this morning. Amen. See, the Holy Ghost is the babysitter that stops you from acting a fool like you used to. Amen. See, when you're used to that crazy, the Holy Ghost will lead and guide and direct you into all truth. And I thank God this morning for the Holy Ghost. That's one of the gifts up under the truth and the love of God. Somebody here don't even love yourself. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9-10. I'm just talking about some gifts now. Everybody talking about the gifts. But 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 says this: in this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And in this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, when I think about the love of God, it's a great gift. And the indwelling gift of the Spirit, that our hearts, that God's love will be in us unconditionally. And the Holy Spirit will guide me and direct me into all truth. Then another gift that's up under this tree is found in verse 9. It's deliverance from wrath. See, wrath refers to the judgment of God that must be poured out on those that reject him. But notice carefully the much more emphasis which follows the statement in verse 10, that Christ died for us. Right. So in other words, if Christ has died for you, then you can escape the wrath of God which is to come. How do I do that? By the gift of salvation, which is found in verse 10. And when we look at this, it can be concluded that not only will we be delivered from God's wrath, but we can be delivered from the power of sin. It has to do with living a victorious life through the power of a risen Savior. See, God knows exactly what we need. Some of us got a Christmas list this morning, and most of the things that's on the list, we don't even need them. See, God knew what to send. Amen. See, if our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent Steve Harvey just to make us laugh. But see, our greatest need was we needed forgiveness. So therefore, God sent us
a Savior. And somebody ought to thank God this morning for sending you a Savior. Amen. Amen. I know somebody, you want a PlayStation 3, or you want an Xbox 360, or you want some diamond ring, or you want a new car. But most of all right now, we all ought to have on number one on the list, I need forgiveness of my sin. I need a Savior.
Thank God for this Christmas tree. Somebody said, I know I want something, but I don't know what to call it. Let me help you out. Isaiah said, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Just say, God, I want some wonderful. Counselor. See, a counselor is a person that you go and talk to, and they won't tell your business to nobody else. I need a counselor. Somebody need a counselor right now for Christmas, because you're going through some stuff right now that it seems that you can't handle it, and you're about to lose your mind. But somebody say, I need the wonderful counselor. But I can't sleep at night. You need the Prince of Peace. See, you can't buy him at the mall. Galleria. River Chase, you can't buy it. And somebody needs just a mighty God. See, Paul is writing, he's about a boasting in the sense of being triumphant. And we're rejoicing because the death of Christ on the cross, and because of God's grace and his gift through the tree, right now we ought to be able to boast in Christ. Not because of who we are ourselves, but because of who we are in Christ and by his grace. Sometimes, I'm gonna get to get out of here. Sometimes when you unwrap your gifts in life, the size is either too small or it's too large. Then sometimes we seem like the gift just won't fit. And even though I know it said one size fit all, sometimes we outgrow the one size fit all. Amen. Somebody know what I'm talking about. Y'all skinny folk, it's too big for you still. It still don't fit. So don't talk about it. All right. But now, and sometimes when you open up the box, you ever open up a box and you say, oh, I'm so excited about this gift. And when you open up, the gift has been broken. But when you unwrap these presents today, you'll find out that they're backed up by faithfulness. They've got a guarantee by God that says you won't ever have to exchange it, because it's a perfect gift. Somebody said it's a perfect sacrifice. By the name of Jesus Christ, these gifts never break. They never wear out. They never stop giving. They last for eternity. And they'll do more than what it promises that it will do. You ever bought a gift that said it probably is supposed to do this and that, and when you find out it won't do this and that? But I can promise you that these gifts that come from God's Christmas tree will do abundantly and exceedingly above anything that you can expect. And when I think about this tree, nobody thought about how great this Christmas tree would be. But then I can hear him saying, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. I can see them. Thought that they were doing something smart. They took up the tree on a hill called Calvary. They lifted him up, and then somebody said, now we got him. But see, you didn't understand that whenever a tree gets in its erect position, it performs the proper function of a tree. See, a tree that don't have no function is no good. See, in the summertime, let me tell you about a tree. In the summertime, a tree has leaves that will provide a shade above you. And when the heat of this world bow down on you, I just call on the Christmas tree. I say, Jesus, in the heat of my burdens, I need you to be a shade around me each and every day. Then when I look up on that hill called Calvary,
The only bulbs I see on the tree
were some black bulbs. And what were the black bulbs? They were the sin of the world on that tree. Don't look around. I see Rippy's bulb on that tree. I see your bulb on that tree. But see, nobody likes black bulbs too much on a Christmas tree. But wait a minute. I see something about to change now. The bulb, the color began to change. Somebody said they change in color. What do you mean, Pastor? Now I look around, and now I see some white bulbs on that tree. What happened to the black bulb on the tree? Somebody said, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. They tell me that the sun refused to shine, but I still see some lights hanging on that tree. I tell you, the lights got so bright on that tree that the dead got up and walked the streets of Jerusalem that I couldn't sleep. I start seeing some lights shining from a Christmas tree. Then I looked at that tree, and I could see the light begin to flicker. Somebody thought that it was over. Then I saw some red bulbs on that tree, and there was nothing but the blood of Jesus. And see what had happened? The red bulbs got on the black bulbs, and I tell you, something began to work. And see, red and black supposed to make purple, but that didn't happen. The red got on my black sin, and it began to say, though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. But you know, the devil don't like a praise party. And they tell me about that time around the ninth hour that the lights begin to flicker. The lights begin to go out. And see, if a tree don't serve no purpose, they tell me that you take it down. And they took that old tree down. And they buried it in an old dusty grave all night the first night. Somebody said the Christmas tree is dead. All night, the second night, they said the Christmas party is over. But early, on the third day morning, the tree got up. And then when it got up, it had some green bulbs flashing on it. It said, what's the purpose of the green? The green symbolizes new life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new. He got all power. He got all power in his hand. Somebody here went and bought a Christmas tree. But in a few days, that tree is going to be dead. Going to throw that tree away. But God's tree never dies. It shines every day of the year. In the summertime, that Christmas tree is still shining. In the springtime, the Christmas tree is still shining. And I could hear somebody wrote a song. It said, oh Christmas tree of all the trees most lovely. And somebody said, well, what does that have to do with Jesus? And I can hear David say, oh Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. It was the perfect Christmas tree. Every year, we put up our trees, we hang up our wreaths, but is a tree really living? Are you really getting gifts from the tree? See, if a tree's not producing something, and if I were you, if I'd been going to that non-productive tree, I try God's Christmas tree. He's a gift that keeps on giving. Anybody here looking for a gift this Christmas? Jesus is a supplier of the gift that you need. First on your list, forgiveness. God, I need you to forgive me of all my sins. Second gift, God, I need your grace. Third gift, God, I need your mercy. Somebody said, I need your salvation. Somebody here needs to be saved. What does save me? It means I've been transformed from death unto life.
of walking, new way of talking, new way of living. I'm talking about that gift. Anybody here wants the gift? God's Christmas tree. Have you got it? Have you got it? Have you got it? See, God is so large that you can't put him in a box. You can't wrap him up. You can't place him under the tree because he is the tree. From the root of Jesse, amen. God's Christmas tree. Somebody said, I need you. And right now, in the midst of this Christmas season, somebody most of all needs Jesus. Because there's no doubt that a gift that you're going to get is not going to fit, not going to be the right size. And you probably, some of them, you just plain today, not going to tell them, you just don't like them. But God has got some gifts that never have to be exchanged. And they have a guarantee. And the reason God can put the guarantee on them because he made it. He made us. He knows all about us. And he knows exactly what'll fit. Right now, somebody's in here needs a gift. You need God's Christmas tree. The mall can't sell it. Mama can't give it to you. But you need God's gift for yourself. The invitation is given. Will there be one today that will say, God, I want to give you my life. God, I want to give you my heart. And what I want from you, God, you've got it already under your tree. Let's just give God some praise right now.